So this evening we want to stand still around that word, come. And this evening when I preach from Matthew 11, I will use quotations from the ESV. We read from the New King James, but the quotations were all taken from the ESV, but they are almost the same. And this evening we want to stand still at the verses 25 to 30, and I've divided in three parts. And the first part is the listening to the prayer of Jesus to his Father. And we will see that Jesus gives glory and honor to his Father. And he gives glory to the fact that that God had given salvation to Christ. Second part, we want to see the authority of Jesus. That he has authority over life and over death. And we will see that he is the appointed one and the anointed one by the Father to give life and also to judge. And the last part is the heart of the gospel message. And it's my prayer this evening that we not only listen with our ears, but also that our hearts are open to receive this gospel message. That we will hear the gospel message of salvation, which is in Christ. So the first is Jesus' prayer. Secondly, Jesus' authority. And thirdly, Jesus' calling. And it's good to look when we opening the Bible and we read these verses to look at the setting of these words. Because Jesus has sent his 12 disciples to go out and to preach the gospel. And they preached about the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And we see that the disciples, they did go out. But the cities, they didn't listen. They rejected the word of Jesus. They rejected the fact that the kingdom was come close. And Jesus rebuked these cities because they did not repent. And even in this situation, that the cities did not repent, we see that Christ praised his Father for his sovereign goodness. We see that Jesus is saying, he declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. This is an answer to the fact that they didn't listen. And this is saying something to us. I think there is a big lesson directly in the start. And thanksgiving is a proper answer to God in every situation. Also, when situations are hard, a proper answer is to give him thanks. And Christ is giving thanks to his Father. He who is the creator of all things and who is the Lord over all things. And Christ, the Son of God, he declared that God is Lord over the heaven and over the earth and that he is reigning. And Christ is celebrating and giving praise to his Father. And we want to look for the reason. What is the reason for this thanksgiving? And Jesus is saying, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things for the wise and the understanding. And isn't this strange? Because we can ask ourselves, what does Jesus mean? But he has hidden these things from the wise and understanding. And what are these things which are hidden from the wise and understanding? Well, are the things about the gospel. It are the things according to salvation. And Jesus is declaring that it is hidden for those who are searching it in earthly wisdom. It is hidden for those who are searching it in human skills. It is hidden in human philosophy. It is hidden for those who are searching it in earthly professions or in any teaching. And when we read the Bible, we see in 1 Corinthians that God says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Earthly wisdom does not last forever. There will be a time that the silence of the science will come to an end. Isaiah 29 verse 13 says, "The wisdom of the wise man shall perish." And there's only one wisdom which will stand. That's the wisdom of God Himself. That will stand forever and ever. And God the Father, He is hiding it from those who are searching it in wisdom and in knowledge. But He revealed it to little children. And here we see again a great mystery. Jesus is of God's revealing it to those who are needy, to children who are helpless, helpless from themselves. If we are looking to a child, what kind of image is it? It is someone who needs care from a father and a mother. A child is someone who is weak from himself. And a child is not someone who says, "I am great, I am high, I've got wisdom." A child is someone who is really needy for his father and his mother. And Christ is saying, salvation is shown to those, to the needy. And this has a great application. This means that the doctrines of the gospel are easy to understand. That even a child can know and trust. And this gospel is not about earthly wisdom. We don't have to study books before we can know Christ. We don't have to deep study books before we can come to salvation in Christ. But it's about simplicity and easy to understand. God reveals His gospel to babes, little children in themselves. And spiritual sight is given to them. And Jesus, He affirms this. "Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." It's God's will that we all become like a crying spiritual beggar, a child. We are longing to see Him. And Jesus Himself, He's praising God for the fact that it was God's plan to be merciful to the least. That His mercy is going out to the most lowest people. And the sovereign counsel and the purpose of God is to give sight, spiritual sight, to the most helpless people. And we see in this the love of God towards His creation. And God's will is to reveal Himself to people, but not through human wisdom. Not that we have to study as deep as possible. No, we can enter His kingdom through faith in Jesus Christ. And even a child can have faith in Jesus Christ. And this brings us at our second point, Jesus' authority. Verse 27. And we see that Jesus Christ is reigning with all authority. And we will see that Christ is fully one with God the Father. And note how Jesus, He declared His authority. Verse 27. "All things have been handed over to me by my Father." And when Jesus is saying all things, then He means all things. They are all handed over by His Father who reigns over the heavens and over the earth. So Jesus is ruling over the heaven. He rules over the angels and He rules over all the heavenly powers. Jesus is reigning over the wind. When we read the gospel, we read that example that Jesus said to the wind, "Be silenced," and it was silenced. He reigns over the sun, He reigns over the moon, over the stars, and He's reigning over all the kingdoms. Also today, we think that maybe a king or a queen or someone else is reigning above us. But Jesus and God Himself, He is reigning above them. He is reigning over every living creature. And Brother Jan mentioned this morning also, every breath take we do, He's reigning. He is Lord. He is God. every twinkle we do with our eyes. He is reigning. He has the power over life and over death. And the whole creation is subordinated to Jesus Christ himself. And this means that Jesus is equal in glory, in majesty and power of God the Father. And this means all perfection belongs to Christ. All the powers belongs to Christ. All the glory, all the promises you read in the Bible, all the treasures of wisdom, all the knowledge, it belongs to Christ. All the blessings, it belongs to Christ. All the happiness, it belongs to Christ. All the persons, they all belong to Christ. All the angels up in the heaven, they belong to Christ Jesus. All the spirits, they belong to Christ. All the elect, they all belong to Christ. God handed everything over to Christ. And then we will see that He, Christ Jesus, is the supreme Son of God. We read, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And this means that Jesus Christ, He is the real God-man. He came down and became a man, but He was the real God-man. He was the begotten Son. And we see the relation between God the Father and the Son, Jesus. And no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. And there is only one way. And Christ, He is the way and the truth. And He is revealed through the Holy Spirit. And He is revealed in the Scriptures when we read the Bible. Then we see Christ Jesus. And this evening, the instrument to show Christ is through preaching and through Bible reading. When we read the Bible, when we hear the gospel, we see Christ. This is the instrument of God. And when we think about the authority of Jesus, we read in John chapter 5, verse 19, it says, "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing on His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that does the Son likewise.'" So we see that Jesus is always acting in the way of His Father. He is always obeying God the Father. He is always praying to God His Father. He is always searching for the perfect will of His Father. Even when He had to enter to the cross, He said, "Your will be done." Even when it cost His life, He is obeying the Father. He is always searching for the will of the Father. And always meditating on the laws of His Father and the things of His Father. It goes on. "For the Father loves the Son and shows Him that He Himself is doing." I'm reading from John 5. "And greater works than these will He show Him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom He will." We see Jesus, He has the authority to give life. He is the one who had also the authority to bring dead people into life. That's the first one we read here. But also, "The Father judged no one, but has given all judgment to the Son." This is the second authority of Jesus. He has the authority to judge. "So that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears My word and believes Him who sent Me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but He passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." This is the gospel message. When we hear to the voice of Jesus Christ, when we follow Him, when we let Him in our hearts, then we will live. Everyone who listen and obey Jesus, he will have eternal life. And we just read, Jesus has the authority over life and over death. And today he is speaking. Today he is speaking through his word. And this brings us to our third and last point. The calling of Jesus. Come to me. And today, this Jesus, he is calling to us into our hearts with this simple word, come to me. Come to me. And through his gospel, he's longing for people who are needy, who are sinful from themselves. And he is calling, come to me. And that's not a coming in earthly wisdom. But it's the most easiest coming. And his voice is going out today to search, to raise dead people, to raise them from the dead and give them eternal life. Listen to him while he speaks. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. And I will say, this is a glorious invitation. This is a glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the calling from the most sweetest lips ever sounded. Jesus, he said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. And I said this earlier, this is the most easiest word to understand. When we see a father and mother with a little child, and a father is calling a child, come. Even the most little children, they understand what it means when father or mother says, come. And the child is coming with him. And Jesus is saying now, come. And this is the invitation from Jesus to all men. And when we hear these words of Jesus in this gospel, we hear these words from the very lips of Jesus Christ himself. And when we look to him, we will see him. And when we see his eyes will be blended with tears and with extreme joy whenever a sinner comes to him. Come. He reaches out this evening his golden scepter. And anyone who touches this golden scepter will be forgiven, will be reconciled with him. And this is the call of the gospel, come. And this is also the good news for today, for you and for me. Come. Look at the Savior hanging on the cross. And he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And why? Because he bears the sin. And this Jesus, he is calling us to come. And just simple, have faith in him. Trust him. And look at his loving eyes. While he is saying these words, come. And maybe you are thinking this evening, you're sitting here, what does it mean to come? What does it mean to come? Well, I can say it's not something ritual. It's no wisdom. It's not that we have to pray just one prayer and we are saved. It's not to become a member of the church. It's not by any human means. But what does it mean when Jesus is saying come? What does it mean for us? Well, to come to Jesus is to trust in him. To come to Jesus is to have faith in Jesus. To come to Jesus is to fully rely on him. To trust in Jesus is to surrender your life to him. To come to Jesus is to repent that you are a sinner. Repent your sins and acknowledge that you and I didn't deserve forgiveness. To come means also to put all your hope on Christ, for now and in the future. To come is to say, Jesus, from myself, I can't do anything. I need your help. To come is to drink from the living water. Just as we sung that song, as a deer longs to water. And what does it mean more? To come is to rely on all the promises in God's word, the Bible. We can rely on all the promises. We can trust them. To come to Jesus is to look away from all our earthly things and to look up to Christ alone. And to look at the Savior. To come is to trust in His death and to trust in His resurrection. And to trust that His blood was the perfect sacrifice for your and my sins. That is to come to Christ. That is to believe in Him. That is to know that He has dealt with your sins and that He bear them on the cross. To come is to embrace the truth of the cross of Jesus Christ. This is the good news for all who hear. Come to me, all who are laboring. And it does not matter what kind of background you have. It does not matter who you are, how old you are. It does not matter if you are a rich person or you don't have any money at all. It does not matter if you are young or maybe old. It does not matter if you are a child or you are grown old. Jesus' words is going out and He is saying, all who labors. And He bear the sin on the cross, which is too heavy for us to bear. And dying on the cross, on Calvary, when He died, and raised on the third day, and that He opened the way to salvation. And I have to say another thing. That is, Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. There is no other way through which we can come to God the Father. It's just this only way, and it is the perfect way. You know, often when we read the Bible and we think, well, this is a small way, this the small part. Indeed, it's a small part, but it's wide enough for you. It's wide enough for you because Jesus Christ, He is the way. He is the perfect way, the most best way we ever can think of. Come to me, all who labor and heavy laden. And what is this labor and the heavy laden? What can we feel? This is the burden we can feel over our sins and over our guilt. This can be the burden of the insupportable yoke of the law of the human traditions. And people can be heavy laden because we have things in this world and we have things of our flesh and we are humans. Our life can be indeed very hard. Our life can be very difficult. Our life can be sorrowful or sad. Or maybe our life is so depressing. But to come to Christ is bring all those burdens to Christ. Bring them to Him. And He is saying, then I give you rest. And this is a rest for our souls, dear friends. This is a rest for our soul, a real rest. And you know, this rest is also the immediate response when we come to Christ, when we bow our knees, when we confess that we need a Savior. The immediate response is rest for our soul. And Jesus, he will give rest for the terror of sin. And he will give a well-grounded peace. And I want to ask you this evening, think for a moment to those who follow this sweet voice of the beloved Lord. Think to those who did answer to this call. And think for a moment to those who did follow the call of Jesus Christ and who are with him in eternal glory, in all the happiness to see this Savior in his glorious presence. Maybe you ask yourself, okay, when I listen to this calling, will my life be done without any pain or sorrow? No. But look to those who follow the Master. They have a light yoke and they can endure hardships. Look at their lips when they bless their enemies. Look to their eyes, how lovely they can look to those who are angry at them. And Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you and learn from me that I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And he is a new master. Instead of the master of sin in this world. And Jesus is saying, learn from me. Jesus himself, he is a teacher. He will teach us. And he is a gentle teacher. This teacher is willing. Willing to listen. He's willing to listen to our prayers. When we bow down our knees. Maybe in secret places. Maybe when we are so hurted and we ask Jesus for help. This teacher, he is willingly to listen to our hearts and our problems and our troubles. Yes, we know we have troubles. We can have a lot of difficulties. But this Jesus, he is willingly to listen to you and to me when we come to him. And there is indeed a yoke to wear. But Jesus is saying, but that yoke is light. Throw your sins on him and cast all your sorrows on him. And this Jesus is not unreachable. He is not too high. He is not too far away. He is always close by. Even when you are seated on your chair now. And you pour out your heart to him. He listens. He is listening. And share your heart with him. Share all your guilt with him. Share your sins with him. And tell him that you're from yourself. Your heart is rebellious against him. Confess it to him. And confess all the heavy things we know in our lives. And he is willingly to listen to you. And one thing I will say, add to this. You shall not be ashamed. No one shall ever be ashamed when he is going to Christ. There's no sinner who is going to Christ and repent who don't get forgiveness. Every sinner who turns to Christ will get forgiveness. And then this promise, you will find rest for your soul. And this is a rest for your soul for now and to all the eternity. This real rest is peace with God the Father. And he will take away the fear of this world. He will take away also the fear of entering his presence. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How sweet is it to hear these words from the lips from our Lord and Master Jesus Christ himself. And this yoke, it is the total opposite of the things of this world. The things of this world are always hard. And it's always going down. It's always depressing. But when we look up to Christ, we will find real joy. Real joy in our heart. And a real blessedness. Are we looking forward? And we may then also look forward to that great day when He will appear in all His glory. And we will look forward to be with Him. To be with this Master who gave His life as a ransom. So we have to conclude. We heard this evening the message of the gospel. And I want to ask to you all, so as we sitting here, do you believe in this Jesus? Did you come to Him? Now are your sins forgiven? Now are you looking forward to meet Him? Have you heard His sweet voice in your heart? And did you respond to this calling of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself? Did you respond to this word, "Come to me, all you are laboring"? Have you looked away from this world and up to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior for the rest of your soul? Have you felt that this yoke indeed is light? And I want to ask you, did you understand your need to be reconciled with God through Christ? Do you understand this? Have you come to your repentance of your sin? And if not, then this evening I want to urge you to come to Christ, to repent and believe in His atonement, to have fully faith on Him, to trust on this Jesus, and to find forgiveness and eternal rest for your soul. This is the truth of the Bible. When we trust in Him, we can rely on all the promises of the Bible. Surely we will find rest for our souls. And even in hardships, even in hard times, we can look forward to be with the Lord. I hope that this is also our longing from our hearts, to be with Him and to give Him all the glory, all the honor He deserved. This is a precious, precious Savior. Believe in Him. Be saved. Amen. Let us sing together hymn 577. I am trusting in Thee, Lord Jesus. And it's my prayer that everyone who's sitting here can say and sing these words, not only with the lips, but also with your hearts. Let us stand and sing hymn 577. I am trusting Thee, Lord Jesus. I want to give you the blessings from Numbers 6, verses 24 to 26. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.